Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight on MLB Central, your host Will Macklin and the usual Benson Vector will discuss many topics, including Abreu's pop shark savvy pace White Sox, Harvey's foot okay and won't miss the start against the Yankees, and the sore shoulder of Jose Bautista will have him out of the lineup. MLB icons dominated the franchise for voting, and Mad Bum Kershaw duel. Special on two friends and more. Fans, you too can be part of the show if you call in at 516-666-9990 or enter our chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/MLBCentral.
And on this day in baseball history, in 1993, Mariner right-hander Chris Bosio walks for the first two batters he faces in the kingdom, but is perfect the rest of the way. Then the second no-hitter in franchise history when he beats Red Sox 7-0. The 30-year-old Seattle's no-no is kept intact by several outstanding plays from his infielders, including shortstop Omar Vizquel's barehanded play, a chopper hit by Ernest Trials for the game's final out. And now for the baseball joke of the day.
Benson, how did baseball players always keep in touch?
I don't know. How?
They always keep base.
That was our baseball joke of the day. Now we're going to go into how Abreu and Shark Power White Sox passed the Tribe. So, an unexpected low-scoring battle between top-flight starters Jeff Samardzija and Corey Kluber turned into a 6-0 White Sox victory over the Indians on Wednesday afternoon at U.S. Cellular Field. By virtue of its 4-run rally in the ninth inning Monday, Chicago picks up a second series victory of this season, but the White Sox winning the finale wasn't as routine as the score would indicate. Now, the score indicated, obviously, Jose Abreu, he hit his fifth home run of the season, which was a solo shot, put the White Sox on the board in the first game. So, we're talking about Jose Abreu's pop here. And he already has 5 home runs this season, already off to a hot start after the magical season they had last year. So, what are just original thoughts on Jose Abreu?
Well, I think his hot start to the season this year has really just shown that he's here to stay, and I think, you know, last year, rookie season, don't know much what how he came out with all those crushing home runs, but he's proven again this year that he can sum up just the same amount.
Also, Justin Marcia, he's now on the White Sox. He did great today. I mean, shut out 6 scoreless innings. And then, so now that Justin Marcia is on the White Sox, do you think that could, if they made it to the playoffs or if they were down in the race in August and September, do you think having Justin Marcia will help them, along with Chris Sale and Jose Quintana and Rodon in the rotation?
I think it definitely will, but I think for the White Sox to make it to the playoffs this year is just going to be a little stretch for them.
And then you have also Corey Kluber for the Cleveland Indians. He won the AL Cy Young last year. He didn't do well in this start, giving up the 6 runs that been in the Jose Abreu home run. So Corey Kluber, he won the AL Cy Young last year, but he's struggling this game, and he's struggling early on in the season. So what do you think he has to do to get back to his Cy Young season last year?
I think he just needs to settle down. I mean, especially coming off of a big Cy Young award win, I think he just needs to slow down.
Also, the White Sox picking up their second series victory of the season. So they have 2 series under their belt early in the season. Do you think that will keep some momentum going with their win today? Or do you think they'll just slow it down, lose a couple more series, and just stay at that 500 average where they are right now?
I think they'll definitely get off to a hot start in April, and then no one knows what will happen mid-season.
And also, Samardzija, as I said earlier, he threw 6 scoreless innings during his first White Sox victory, which was big for them. But you have to keep in mind, he needed 113 pitches through 6 innings to accomplish that. He pitched out of jams in the 2nd, 3rd, and 6th innings, so big jams he had to get out of. Kluber, the reigning American Cy Young League winner, as I said earlier, allowed 13 hits over 6-plus innings, but 4 of them came at the start of the 7th. He found 6 and walked 1. So Samardzija was 113 pitches in 6 innings, and yet, I mean, that's just a crazy amount of number. What do you think he has to do to get that pitch count down and try to get deeper in the games and save the White Sox bullpen?
I think he needs to just throw strikes, and I think as a pitcher, your main goal is to get every batter through with three or less pitches. And I just think if he can focus on that goal and be consistent with it, then that will be a big deal for the White Sox and for their bullpen rotation.
It's also big for him that he did earn his first White Sox victory after the sketchy opening day start with the Royals scenario that we saw going on. And then he gets his first White Sox victory. He's now got it in the books. No more pressure, at least as for right now. Do you think Justin Marcia will pick up the pace like he did with the Cubs and the Athletics later last season?
I think he definitely will, just because he's one of the elite pitchers in the MLB. I just think he needs to find his stride to really get into a good season.
I mean, even though Marcia had 6 scores in, which is impressive. You hear that. I've said 13 pitches. But he also jams in 3 of the innings, 2 back-to-back in the 2nd and 3rd, and then the 6th inning. So when you're on that many jams, you're obviously going to have that many pitches. What do you, as you said with the strikes, I mean, if you strike out everybody, the pitch count is going to be high. What do you think Justin Marcia can do, or maybe his defense can do better to help him knock in those jams? I mean, 3 times in 6 games, that's half the time that he's out there on the mound in a jam.
I think, well, first of all, it just has to start with walks. I mean, it seems the number one reason for jams these days is walks. I mean, hits are coming a lot rare these days where pitching has ruled, and I just think the less walks you get, I mean, with a walk, that can usually get to a pretty high number of pitch count for that one at bat. I think the less number of walks that he can give up, the better of ways he'll be out of jams.
When you think about it, it always happens like this, in my mind anyway. A first batter walk always comes back to bite the pitcher in the end. Those rallies, they just always seem to have walks in them. I mean, if you get the outs, ground balls, flyouts, strikeouts, any way you can get an out and not give up a walk, especially to that first batter, is critical for quality pitching in Major League Baseball today.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and then, as you said, with those rallies, it seems like it always starts. The worst is when the pitcher walks the pitcher and you know, top of the lineup, everything goes wrong in that situation.
And also, we're seeing Corey Kluber. I mean, he was a reigning American League Cy Young Award winner. He had 13 hits over 6-plus innings. Just a lot of hits for 6 innings. That's about a little bit over 2 hits an inning. And if you get the double and a single, I mean, that's a run already. No wonder the White Sox won 6-0. I mean, what do you think Corey Kluber can do, or maybe his defense can do better to limit the 13 hits in 6 innings? It's just a huge amount.
Well, I think it definitely starts with the pitching. And when you look at Howard guys getting base hits, you can't just strike it to the defense. I think you need to go to the pitching first and say, how hard are these guys hitting the ball? Where are they hitting it off of this pitcher? And then the defense adjusts off of those stats and recommendations.
He did pitch 7 innings, my bad, with a 6. But he only let up 9 hits going into the 6th. That's still a lot for Cy Young Award winner. The 4 of them came in the start of the 7th. So they had a 7th inning rally, which you can't let up as a major league pitcher. It just baffles me how Corey Kluber can go from how he was last year and then giving up 9 hits in 6 innings, 13 and 7. It's just a crazy number that we're not accustomed to see Corey Kluber and the Tribe go out there and give up.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the great pitching he's had is definitely not shown in the beginning of the year.
And the only bit spot that I think I can see is he only walked one guy. So walks weren't his problem. He just was giving up hits. Contact, I mean, his defense might have done well. But he also struck out 6 people. So it might have been misleading. He might have given up. He gave up big shots, but you might have to turn this to the defense. 13 hits, and he struck out 6 people, and he only walked one. I mean, do you think it has a little bit to do with the defense, not just Corey Kluber?
Yeah, I guess. But, I mean, if he would be pitching better, I think wouldn't be as put on for the defense.
I mean, one of the big people that did destroy Corey Kluber's day was Jose Abreu. He homered, he had 3 RBIs. Melody Cabrera, Adam LaRoche, Alexi Ramirez, and Mikey Johnson, they had multi-hit efforts. And the White Sox are now 4-2 at home. So Jose Abreu homered again, 3 ribbies. He is just obviously the best player on the White Sox and one of the best players in Major League Baseball today.
Yeah, definitely.
And then with the likes of Melky Cabrera, Adam LaRoche, Alexi Ramirez, Mikey Johnson, when you get multi-hits in the game, that's always helps towards the effort of you winning. And, I mean, they're not the big names. Melky Cabrera, off-season signing, Adam LaRoche, off-season signing, but then you take a guy like Mikey Johnson and Alexi Ramirez, and you put them, and these guys getting multi-hits is definitely helping the White Sox get off to that 4-2 start at home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the 4-2 start at home, I just want to touch on that briefly. When you play well in front of your home crowd, there's going to be more people that come. And more people that come means more tickets sold gets more money, and sign more free agents. So, you do well at home, it just boosts the morale for the whole entire franchise, if you think about it in that way.
Yeah, definitely. I just think the more home games you win, more publicity you're going to get from your home crowd. Our tickets definitely get sell.
Now we're going to go over the moments that mattered in this White Sox and Cleveland Indians game. So now we're going to go up a little bit. We're down some notes, did a little bit of segmenting on this game for the moments that mattered. So for backing up his words, prior to the Wednesday series finale, Abreu said he was still optimistic for the team's chance to be successful, but he understood they needed to adjust their overall approach. Abreu then backed up his words, launching an opposite field homer off of Kluber in the first and driving home 2 more with a double in the seventh. Abreu's 8 homers in 21 career games against the Indians. So, I mean, it's always a big thing. If you're going to trash talk in sports or say anything in sports, you always want to back it up. So, anything that you say, if you don't back it up, you're going to be criticized for it. But if you back it up, then you're going to be praised for it.
Yeah, I think that's the whole science behind it. There's high risk, but if you follow through on your smack, then you'll definitely be looked as a lot better player, but then not. Can totally change your reputation of a guy.
The next segmenting part that I did for this game is this could be trouble. Sumatra pitched a scoreless first, but he had to dance in and out of tough situations the rest of the afternoon. The Indians generated runners at first and third in the second, left the bases loaded in the third, and got a runner to third with one out in the sixth, but couldn't score. Sumatra has tossed 10 consecutive scores into his past 2 starts. He has allowed just 1 run over his past 19 frames. So even though Sumatra is only 1 run in 19 innings, which is phenomenal. I mean, he's always in trouble, which just is surprising that he hasn't been bitten yet. 1 run, 19 frames, and then you see how much trouble he's been into. It's just amazing that he can work out of the jams that he gets himself into.
Mm-hmm.
The next segment I have for this game was the 2-for-1 special. Trying 1-0 in the third, Kluber found himself in a jam just like Sumatra. Adam Eaton led off with a walk and Cabrera singled to put runners at the corners. But Kluber avoided the big inning by getting Abreu to bounce in the double play as Eaton scored. That play grew in importance as LaRoche and Abisail Garcia followed the walk and single, respectively, before Connor Gillespie fought out to end the inning. So, double plays in baseball are always huge. I mean, it boosts the morale of the pitcher, it gets the other team down, they have a run going, and you just get that double play, and it shuts down everything. It gives the pitcher a boost. What are your thoughts on just the double play in baseball and the momentum it gives to the team that got it, and the downfall it gives to the team that grounded into the double play?
I think it gives more boost to the team that made the play just because they feel that for the other team it'll also drop because they just mean that that play, that nice double in the alley that you got now has a chance to be caught.
The next time I have for this White Sox Tribe game was quality fades. Through 6 innings, Kluber had a quality start with 3 runs allowed, but he started to hit to the first 4 batters he faced in the 7th, capped by Abreu's 2-run double. So Kluber was doing well through 6 innings, and then in the 7th, just something clicked for the White Sox, and he had a bad start. So you get the box score doesn't show this. You get quality starts of 6 innings, you're doing well, and then the 7th, everything just falls. I mean, drain the morale for Corey Kluber. going forward. And I'm going to stop us right there. We have to get to our break. This is MLB Central. I'm Benson Fetcher, my co-host Will McElhatton, and we'll be back in 3 minutes.
This night ain't for the faint of heart, for the faint of heart, for the faint of heart. This night ain't for the faint of heart, cause the faint of heart gon' fall apart. The promised land.
Into Harvey Split is okay, but he won't miss a start versus the Yankees. So, Mets right-hander Matt Harvey, he visited a doctor Wednesday to address a minor foot problem. According to manager Terry Collins, who downplayed the issue, Harvey will make his next start scheduled on Saturday against the Yankees. So, I mean, nothing is downplayed with us, Matt Harvey, even though Terry Collins downplayed this minor foot problem, as he said. Do you think this foot problem could turn into something bigger after Matt Harvey is coming off Tommy John surgery? If Will has left us, but nevertheless, the show must go on. He's fine, Collins said, declining to identify the exact nature of the issue. It's nothing. Collins said that Harvey's been pitching with the issue for about a month, compiling a 3-0 record and a 3.5 ERA over his first three starts, with 24 strikeouts and one walk in 18 innings. He gave up 4 runs in his last outing while battling an illness. Sports, MLB Central's going to take a quick break. We'll be back in about 30 seconds. We're back on MLB Central, and I believe Will has rejoined us. If I stand corrected, are you still there?
Yes.
All right, so we just briefly touched on Matt Harvey and the minor foot problem that he's having. So Terry Collins downplayed it, but do you think this minor foot problem that Matt Harvey did have and he did visit a doctor for could turn into something big and then send him to the DL possibly again? Like, he did have to go for a while with Tommy John surgery.
Well, I think if you're a Mets fan, you're definitely hoping this is just a little fraud, but, I mean, it's definitely a possibility, and I think it'll be a lot of fans of him.
So now we're going to take it to the Jose Bautista front and how the shoulder strain forces him out of the lineup, but he did call up his number 250 home run amid tension. He aggravated his injury on ambitious third first. So Jose Bautista has his 250th home run. That's obviously a big feat for a guy like him. I mean, how many home runs do you think this guy is going to slug in his career yet to come?
I'm not sure if it'll be the number that most people are expecting. I think it'll be a lot less. I mean, he hasn't been able to put up any monster numbers, but I think he'll definitely hit 100 more home runs in his MLB career.
And, like, people want to see those Guardian numbers. Everybody wants to see him. Like, Alex Rodriguez is about to pass Willie Mays in the home run category. But I think, as you said, Jose Bautista will get at least 100 more. Maybe, I mean, at the most, I think a number 250 more. But he's obviously a great player. He can hit the ball a long way. And he loves to get revenge against the Orioles. But he didn't have the opportunity tonight, as he was held out of the lineup on Wednesday night because of the strained right shoulder. So if Jose Bautista, this strained right shoulder, keeps him out for a while, will it will obviously hurt the Blue Jays, but to what extent will the Blue Jays be affected if Jose Bautista cannot play on a regular level with the shoulder problem?
I think it'll definitely hurt them, but I think if you want to have a guy get injured, this is definitely the best time of the year where teams really haven't hit their full stride and their full potential. So the Blue Jays, a good team, they'll be just fine without him.
Yeah, I think they'll be fine without him. They have all the guys in place, and Bautista, when he comes back, he'll just make them better. I mean, he did make headlines on the 13-6 victory for Toronto over Baltimore on Tuesday when he homered off Jason Garcia. The home run, as we said earlier, was the number 250th of his career, and came just a few pitches after Garcia threw a fastball, then went behind Bautista and went to the dugouts being issued warnings. So we're going to move to our seven-minute stretch. As fans, we started that yesterday. It's basically the same chance as seven-minute stretch. We just play take after the ballgame around the seven-minute mark, which we are at now. We come back for Say Something and the closing statements. So we're going to seven-minute stretch on MLB Central. I'm Ness Infector. The co-host is Phil McElhatton. We'll after our taking out the ball game, and now time to say something. Well, you know what to do.
I think my closing statement for today will be the Jose Abreu smack talk and how he can back it up with his stellar batting.
I like to say, I mean, fifth home run of the year for Jose Abreu. That's a gaudy number, and we do have a caller on MLB Central. We're going to take him real quick. Go to the outro, and then we'll send you off. So, phone to area code, you're live on MLB Central. How are you today?
I'm doing great, thank you.
All right, so we're just in the middle of our Say Something segment, which we were just talking about Jose Abreu. Now he's his fifth home run of the season this early, which is impressive to say the least.
Absolutely, absolutely. What's your biggest surprise of the early season?
I mean, early this season, I think my biggest surprise, and I'm just speaking for myself right now, is probably Jose Abreu and his 5 home runs this early. Also, the White Sox just 4-2 at home, which is also impressive. Well, what do you think would be the most impressive part of the baseball season to start off?
I think so far it's just the quickness of how the Tigers and Mets have both been able to get off the hot starts.
What about the Royals? Was that a surprise?
They're obviously off to a hot start, and I don't think they'll continue it, but they'll be good throughout the year. I mean, the tough division with the White Sox, Royals, Twins, Tigers, and Tribe. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see who comes out of the division unscathed.
I know you're objective in your analysis, but you do also like the Pirates. Any insight on the Pirates season so far?
Well, I mean, obviously last night in a heartbreaking 9-8 loss, you know, 3 runs in the ninth. I mean, Mark Melanson, he's a great closer. I mean, just sometimes the ninth inning gets to you. I don't know what you think, Will, about the Pirates and their 6-8 start that they're off to right now.
Well,
yeah, I think
it just worries me a little bit because they had a slow start last year, and they probably, if they could have gotten it together a little quicker, they probably could have made a run at the division, and I hope that's not what they're doing this year.
But if you think about it, the Pirates are the only team of all ever to have a losing record in April and make the playoffs. So they did have an impressive May, June, July, August, and September. So, I mean, 6-8 isn't as bad as what they did last year, but they made the playoffs having the worst record, and I think they'll make the playoffs this year, staying at 6-8 and trying to get a win tonight and improve to 7-8 against the Chicago Cubs.
Do you see them as a wild card or division winner?
Well, right now, I see them in a wild card position, but they did get hot last year. But at the end of the day, if they do better than they did last April, I think they will win the NL Central.
Good. That'll be good to see.
I think it'll be definitely a big factor of how big the Cubs play. I mean, if they're playing like they will now down the stretch, I think it's going to be an interesting division race.
All right, we're going to have to let you go
absolutely.
So we can do the outro. Thank you for calling in. Have a great day.
Thanks for taking my call. Thank you.
Now for the outro, I'd like to thank Kathleen, George, and Brandon Fechter for helping with the planning and production of MLB Central. Tomorrow night from 6:30 to 7 p.m., you can tune in to MLB Central at www.blogtalkradio.com/MLB Central. Listeners, please follow MLB Central on Blog Talk Radio at the same URL, as I said before, just like Dustin Hoffman has done, and on Facebook and Twitter. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Again, this is MLB Central. We broadcast half an hour every weekday, most times from 6:30 to 7. I'm Benson Fechter. My co-host is Will McElhinney, and you can email us at MLBCentral1@gmail.com with your questions or insights. Have a great day.